Helping someone get sober and give up alcohol for good often means working with their family first. That's according to John McCann from Sober Services.
I tend to work much more closely with the families of the people who are trying to get sober. So, for example, I may get a phone call from anywhere in the world. The last one I remember was South Africa, from a mother whose son had a terrible problem with marijuana. Now, it's not that easy for me to then jump on a plane straight away, jump down to South Africa and say, let's fix it. So sometimes we'll do a lot of this stuff on the phone. And a lot of the work we did with her was helping her recognise that her son actually had a disease, he had a problem that he couldn't control, and to guide her, A, through how she could deal with it and her family could deal with it, because he was quite bullying and quite intimidating. Father was in the Indian Ocean delivering a yacht somewhere, so he was off the scene. So really, we spent an awful lot of time talking on the phone with this lady, guiding her in the right direction, and we had a successful conclusion out of it. But that's kind of like doing it remotely. What we find really successful when we're talking about intervention is working very closely with any number of the immediate family of the person who's suffering. So we will spend up to a couple of days with them, briefing them on what the problem is and also what the solution is for them. Because what people don't seem to realise is addiction or alcoholism is a family disease. It's not restricted just to the individual suffering. It spreads its tentacles throughout the whole family. For example, you may get an addict or an alcoholic who's forever borrowing money, has nowhere to sleep, so he's always crashing out, stealing stuff, doing all those kinds of things. And the family, through their own loving ways, don't really know how to deal with them and tend to forgive an awful lot, which actually just enables the alcoholic or the addict to continue. But again, part of what we do is the education. We educate the family into what's going on and how to stop it. And to do that, we create a scenario where the immediate family is involved. The addict or the alcoholic is the last person we see. He's brought to a location where the family are gathered. And the family then share their experience through reading specifically just a letter that they've written, a very loving, kind letter to the person who's suffering, indicating what they felt and how they feel about the person's disease. And at the end of each letter, they ask that person whether or not they're prepared to accept any help or treatment going forward. Interestingly enough, 98% of the people that go through this process at the end of it accept some form of help or treatment in the form of a treatment centre or some one-on-one counselling with one of our other specialists. You know, 2% of the time we'll have the person that says, no, I'm not doing it, and so on and so forth. And usually these people have either been forewarned that this is going to happen and they can build up their defences or build up a defence against going. If that happens, we have something called bottom lines that the family all buy into, and they all write these bottom lines on their letters. And the bottom line is quite simple. It's something that just says, look, if you don't accept help, you can no longer live here. We will no longer fund you. We will no longer make excuses for you. We will report you to the police if you drink drive again, and so on and so forth. If after that process, the person still doesn't want to accept the help of us or a treatment centre, we will follow them. It's quite simple. We will follow them off to the bar and tell the barman, this man's an alcoholic, don't serve him. And we will do literally whatever it takes to get these people the help that they need. Occasionally, one will slip away. I think the longest anyone's got away from us was 18 months, and then they eventually accepted help. The reality of the 2% that kind of don't want to do it is that most of them, after a couple of days, will accept help because they realise they've got nowhere else to go. One of the most powerful tools we have is if they have a young family, because we try not to include the children, but quite often they're aware of what's going on. So we'll go through the family, and if they're still reticent in any way to accept that help, we'll bring in little Johnny, a little five-year-old Johnny, and says, Daddy, please, can you get some help? And the tears start. And generally, it's just one of the other tools that we use. I mean, our philosophy is quite simple. You know, I've suffered from this disease. I suffered from this disease for 29, 30 years. It took a lot for me to get over that addiction, but more importantly, it took a lot for my family to recover from it. So consequently, having seen the results of what I've done, the way my family has recovered, we're armed with so many facts about how people can get well. I don't like the fact that people don't accept it's a disease. Now, I can talk to a lot of alcoholics who say, no, it's not a disease, it's just a matter of willpower. But I know differently.
That's John McCann from Sober Services.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.